Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the show today. My guest is Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton talking to us from his office. We'd love to have your questions in the next half an hour for him. You can call those in to area code 765-496-1999. You can email them to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks again for being with us. And I'm looking at a weather report as I'm talking to you here, and I'm looking at the possibility of 8 inches of snow in the next couple of days. And I'm thinking to myself two things. One, golly gee, aren't we in spring yet, as I thought we were the other day,
right?
But maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm not a meteorologist. But the other thing that I want to ask, and not in a tongue-in-cheek way, is I was thinking about municipal fighters of snow and ice. And I wondered, do you ever get to a point where you've put away most of that equipment and set it up and, so you've said, all right, well, I think we're pretty much done with this until next winter. And then you have to sort of get it back out of mothballs again in a short period of time and fight a freak spring snowstorm like we're about to have. Are you in a position like that at all, or are you just still ready to go?
Well, I suppose that could happen, but in this case, that's not going to happen to us. Our stuff is still out and ready to go. You know, it's kind of a bounce back and forth. We've been filling potholes and doing some of that kind of spring work, and then, you know, have everything sitting there ready to go. I noticed just the other day that our brine trucks were still in position. They're in a heated warehouse and ready to roll out the door, you know. So we haven't made that transition. We're still good, and we'll be prepared for this. On the personal level, I did put my snow shovel away last weekend, and I clearly jinxed myself there.
I hope you know where it is in your garage.
I do know where it is.
Let's talk to some other things that have happened recently. As you look back on the legislative session, which ended last week, I wondered what you thought got accomplished that will help your community, and whether there was anything that got left on the cutting room floor, so to speak, that would have helped you had it passed.
Well, I don't see anything that excites me, and you know, I don't see any great tools coming out of this session that, as a mayor, is really going to benefit my community and my ability to help my community. A lot of what I see is ho-hum. I mean, I hate to, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm downgrading the legislature, but, you know, we don't see too much coming out of there this time that really, you know, helps us doing what we're doing. And, you know, I do have to shake my head sometimes when I hear, you know, that the big story is Sunday alcohol sales. And, you know, I perhaps that's important, but, you know, we have some really pressing issues in our state that need to be addressed. And I don't think that's in the top, you know, whatever. So nothing exciting. A little disappointed. I would like to see more action. I would like to really see our legislators pay attention to what's going on back home instead of this constant wrangling with themselves in Indianapolis. And now we're apparently headed to a special session, which is, it's bewildering to me that we find ourselves in that situation.
And that special session, of course, has to have its taxes borne, or its costs borne by taxpayers. Are you okay with a special session, or would you rather them come back next year like they would have anyhow?
I don't think I know enough about, you know, what was left on the table and what's left undone. You know, on the surface, it doesn't make any sense to me. You had all this time to get your work done. You knew what the parameters were. You knew what the timeline was. You should have had this done. And for that to come down to the wire and leave us in this situation, we just shouldn't be in this situation. And it's very disappointing to me to see that, because I can assure you when the state legislature puts parameters on local government, we don't have that. We don't have that luxury. You know, those parameters are always very tight. You need to get these things done by this certain date. We saw, you know, changes this time, which they changed deadlines on us, and, you know, it's very quietly done under the radar, you know, like resetting our cum cap rates that flew under the radar. We picked it up. We were meeting it. We'll be okay. But, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that date change.
Well, in a sense, they moved it up, you know, and so I'm not sure if every community in the state will catch on to that and meet that deadline. But if you don't, what'll happen is your rate will fall back off, and it'll take you years to get that back where it should be. You know, and if something like that's going to happen, you know, you should be communicating with local governments and say, hey, we made this change, and, you know, here's why, but we made this change. Make sure you're on track with it. We picked it up last minute and had to scramble to make sure that we meet those deadlines. And you have to question the motives behind things like that. Sometimes, like the small cell legislation last year, in which we had, you know, like 48 hours to do something. My point is, you see that kind of stuff placed on local government, and then you see a legislature that can't even get their business finished in their session, and they have to come back to do it.
Was there a particular bill or a particular issue that you and your community were watching that fell by the wayside that you thought, hey, this really would have helped us?
No, not really. I didn't see anything proposed that you know, just really jumped out and sounded like a great thing for us. You always see some things proposed that catch your attention that you think, wow, that could probably hurt us. You see that, but I didn't see anything this time that I was a strong proponent of that I thought was a great move that would really allow us as cities and communities to better, you know, move our communities forward.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. Call your questions in at 765-496-1999. Email them to ask@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. I noticed that there's an organization that provides services for students with autism. It's called Kids Count, that's thinking of building a new facility in Crawfordsville. And it seemed to me that this is something that doesn't happen very often in small to mid-size Indiana cities. It's hard, for instance, in Greater Lafayette to get services for people with disabilities or mental health services or something like that. How do you view this in terms of what it would add, if it goes through to completion, to people's ability to find those services in a smaller place like yours?
Well, I think it's a big win, and it's positive on several fronts. You know, first and foremost, it's an anchor tenant in our Commerce Park. They're going to build a new facility. You know, that kind of starts the momentum in the Commerce Park, which we've struggled with for a while. So they'll have a nice facility there, a large facility. It's a win on that side. It's also a win because we hear a lot from people in the community who, you know, their families are affected by having children within this autism spectrum, and you know, their search for treatment options, their search for, you know, different, you know, avenues to travel has been very limited. And most of the time they end up going to other communities. And what happens in that case, and I've heard the owner speak to this, and it makes perfect sense, is that many times these parents are put in a situation where they have to choose between either getting my child to the necessary treatment every day or working. And many times they drop out of the workforce because they can't, you know, they have to make a choice and they can't get the child the help they need. So having this here in our community is a huge benefit to families who find themselves in that situation. And it's part of our overall workforce strategy. We have to grow our workforce by several different means. And one of those is, you know, finding maybe these parents who are dealing with these issues and giving them viable options in our community so that their children get their needs met and they can still work in the workforce.
Do you have any sense of how many people might need these services who already live in Crawfordsville or around Crawfordsville?
Well, I don't have those numbers in front of me. I know they've had a presence here for a while, and they think they can easily double or maybe even triple the number they're treating. The numbers are surprisingly high. You know, but keep in mind that's not all from Crawfordsville and Montgomery County. You have a regional draw here, and you have people coming in from surrounding counties for those treatment options. So obviously they're comfortable with the demand that's out there in this market. They've been in this market for a while on a smaller scale and know that they need to grow that service.
You mentioned people coming from out of town, and it occurs to me that in a mental health services desert, as West Central Indiana can be from time to time, depending on where you are, this could draw people in to Crawfordsville who might not come from elsewhere. Do you view it that way?
Well, I suppose that's possible. I mean, that's not part of our overall strategy, but certainly anything that attracts people to our community, people who want to come here and build a successful life and become part of the workforce and part of our community, is a win. We're not really banking on high numbers for that. We think the demand is already here. And again, allowing some of the parents who find themselves with children needing treatment to maybe enter the workforce themselves because they don't have to spend their entire day driving, you know, to two counties away or whatever to get treatment.
As I talk to you and I talk to Mayor McBarnes in Frankfurt, I often wonder if the two of you have a list of, if I could have all of the different amenities that I think would be great to have in a 21st century city, here are the things that we do have, here are the things we don't have. Do you ever, I'm sure you don't have a formal list like that that's expansive from top to bottom, but do you ever think about it that way of, you know, gosh, if the bowling alley went away, we'd have to get a bowling alley back, or, you know, we really want to make sure we have X number of supermarkets, or we want to have treatment for these specific medical conditions. Do you think about it in terms of these are the things we want to check off those lists?
Yeah, you know, in my case, I don't really have to spend much time coming up with those ideas. The public does that for me. And I get a lot, and I mean a lot of input as far as, you know, we need A, B, C, and D in our community. And, you know, some of those things you sort through and think, well, I'm not sure. And you kind of have to start making some calls there. But I get those ideas from the public themselves. And some of those we were able to pick up and run with and try to make them happen. And you know, the autism spectrum piece is one of those things that I've heard since I've taken office. Not an easy thing to figure out, and I'm not going to say we went out every day trying to figure that out, but as you see opportunities pop up, you think, aha, this meets a need that I've been hearing about quite a bit. So I don't have a formal list, but I certainly do have in my mind, you know, this list, you will, of things that would greatly benefit our community or that our community is really clamoring for, in a sense. And we try to work through that. And, you know, obviously the market's the market. We can't, you know, dictate certain businesses come here or anything like that. But we can try to create the climate and really start to cultivate that kind of situation to bring them to our community.
If I gave you a magic wand and said you can fulfill the thing at the top of your list, what would that thing be?
Oh, wow. Anything?
Anything.
is probably not a thing. It's to really change the political discourse in my own community and on a much broader sense so that people consume good, reliable information, they keep themselves informed, and they discuss things openly. And get rid of the rhetoric and the bantering and all of the nonsense that takes place, especially on social media. That would be the biggest thing because, you know, I was just thinking about it today. That would make my job so much easier if we didn't have all of that noise happening on the periphery that really is largely uninformed and just people shooting from the hip nonstop all day and all night. The tone has changed dramatically. It would probably be to solve that because we could solve a lot of our other issues if we just fix that.
This is Ask the Mayor with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. I'm your host, Stan Jastrzebski. If you've got questions for Crawfordsville's chief executive, call those in to 765-496-1999. Email ask@wbaa.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. While we are on the subject of political discourse and voter engagement, I noticed that your city's League of Women Voters, which tends to be kind of progressive, always wanting to try something new and different, is asking for the adoption of vote by mail in Indiana. It's not something that very many states do. The state of Oregon, of course, is the one that everybody looks at that does this. Is that a move you would support?
I don't know. I mean, I've not seen enough on it yet. I'm not opposed to it for sure. You know, anything that improves engagement, you know, I'm in favor of. I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind, we need to make sure that it's done properly. You know, we don't want to just throw this out there and now, you know, one person is voting for three people. And that could easily happen. So I would want to see some safeguards in place to make sure that we are maintaining the integrity of our system. And I know that's controversial and people, you know, say that, you know, there's not a problem with integrity of the system. Well, there could be. And there's a lot at stake if you start to jeopardize that. So not opposed to it. It's an interesting concept. But I would definitely want to see some safeguards in place.
Such as?
Well, I don't know how you know who's voting, and maybe I've just not educated myself on that enough. But like I say, if you have a household and, you know, I get the ballots for everybody in my household and I vote for them, I'm voting three times, four times, five times, whatever. That is troubling. And you know, when somebody walks in a polling place, they're free from all pressure on them. You know, we don't allow campaigning. We don't allow other people to come up and try to sway them or pressure them to vote a certain way. And I'm not sure how we ensure that if somebody's voting at home or at work or whatever. So it's possible. I'm not opposed to it, but I just want to know that we think our way through some of these questions that come up.
I have to tell you, if this could be a way to get rid of all lawn signs because they would be advertising within the sight of people's houses, that might be okay with me.
Well, you know, lawn signs are problematic. They're a challenge, and as a candidate, I can tell you they're not fun.
And I've heard a lot of candidates say they are expensive, and they get stolen, and they have to be replaced, and all of a sudden you're spending a bunch of money on them instead of on the campaign.
Yeah, and campaigns, I mean, you know, think about primaries. Those occur during, you know, spring, which is crazy weather, and the wind's blowing all the time, and all things are happening, and it's tough to deal with those issues.
On to other things, I noticed where you have joined the National League of Cities, which connects the leaders of about 1,900 municipalities nationwide. Why did you feel like that was something you should do?
Well, you know, a couple of reasons. We're really trying to broaden our approach and broaden our intake of ideas from other communities, and I think we've done that well looking around the state of Indiana. There's some great examples, and we've learned a lot from our colleagues in other communities, and maybe we've shared some things with them. But at some point, you have to kind of step back and think, okay, we need to look a little larger. There are a lot of great ideas outside of Indiana, and I've been exposed to the National League of Cities a few times, and I think they have really good programming. I think they have really good resources. The current president is from Indiana, the mayor of Gary. So that piques my interest a little, and I think it'll be worth it. So, you know, we'll try it for a year or two and see what happens. But I think exposure to other parts of the country and how they're approaching problems will benefit us.
You mentioned trying to solve political discourse problems in your city, and you, like a lot of mayors, represent a fairly conservative area of the city. And I wonder if you, who we've talked a lot on this program, you tend to sort of work across party lines, you tend to take some heat in some cases from members of your own party. Is this a way of backstopping you to say, look, there are mayors of all stripes who are doing X, Y, or Z that you might want to implement?
Oh, that's very much the case. You know, I mean, we don't look at, you know, what, you know, if it's a D, an R, an I, whatever the case may be. I want to look at the results and look at what they're accomplishing. And there are good things happening and there are good ideas happening in mayoral administrations on both sides of that. So, you know, you do have to look around, and it's really fun to watch in Indiana. Excuse me, the mayors do work really well together, and we share ideas, and many times I don't even know unless I look whether that other mayor is an R, a D, or I don't know, you know, because it really doesn't matter to us in our ability or our approach to solve local problems.
On to other things, NDOT has announced plans to refurbish about 10 bridges in Montgomery County between 2019 and 2020. Is that enough to ease the traffic worries that sometimes plague your area, do you think?
Well, I read that, and I think most of those bridges are on Interstate 74. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great approach. It's a great start. There are a lot of infrastructure needs out there. And I know that NDOT's staying on top of the bridge situation with there are many bridges, you know, with all these state highways and the interstate coming through. So good to see. It will be interesting. I haven't seen the detour information. Sometimes that causes our city problems as Interstate 74 wide loads are detoured through the city of Crawfordsville. So I need to follow up on that and check that, because if that is the case, we sometimes run into issues there. The wide loads tend to also be very low trailers, and they have issues with the railroad crossings in our community. So we'll check on that, but it's good to see they're planning some work this summer.
And do you have any say in what gets done when, or do you have any ability to say, hey, while you're here, do this other thing?
Honestly, very little. You know, I mean, NDOT has a process they move through, and I know they took input from us on their potential projects several years down the road, and we weigh in on that. I'm sure there's a lot of factors there and communities all over the state clamoring for things to be done. But, you know, at this point, these projects are set. Our influence largely comes with discussing detour routes, and we do try to find ways to cooperate. If there's, many times we'll let them detour onto our city streets because, the reality is to send it to the next state highway puts you a half a county off, and it doesn't make sense. So we work together on those kinds of issues, and but that's usually on, as the project's getting ready to happen.
Your county emergency management office has moved into its new headquarters. That includes rows of desks and TVs on which monitors can be used by officials to keep track of situations that are ongoing. I've seen some pictures of the inside of it. There might be some people who look at this and wonder whether it's almost overkill, I think, for an area that has relatively few people. Do you feel like it's overkill? Do you need all of those desks, all of those TVs?
Well, there's some strategic reasoning behind some of that probably is a little, confusing to people on the surface. That center is not being designed strictly for things that happen in Montgomery County. We're working very closely with the state of Indiana, and they've invested in that facility themselves. It is a regional, more of a regional approach. It is there to help with things maybe that are much larger than just, a tornado hitting one neighborhood in our county. So there's a lot that goes into that. They're there, but it's not fully done yet and fully operational. There's still some things to happen. But what you're going to see occurring there is a lot of training, a lot of agencies coming from around the state to train there. But you'll see that if there's a need, step more into a regional role.
Can you give me an example of one of those larger, not necessarily Montgomery County-specific events that could be run from your new center?
Well, obviously, looking at, this is Indiana, so you could have the widespread tornado outbreak. You could have, severe winter weather that covers multiple counties. There's those types of things, earthquake, obviously. And then you get into the things that people don't necessarily think about, a large disease outbreak or chemical attack. I mean, yeah, those things are pretty far out there, and you think, well, that's never going to happen here. But you still have to have some planning in place and some method of approaching that. And we use incident management system. It's pretty flexible. We know that we're not going to sit and plan for we're going to do A, B, and C if this occurs because there's many variables. But we understand the structure we would create and how we would function to take the real-time data and make decisions to, protect our communities.
The building also houses the county morgue and a new coroner's office, and I wondered what those mean for death investigations in the county. Are there things you can do now that could not be done before?
Well, I don't think the morgue is done yet. I know the coroner has moved in. The key there was creating a situation in which, if there is a death, that deceased can be secured until an autopsy is done. And we were never really in that situation before. Someone was taken to the morgue at the hospital, you lose that chain of custody before the autopsy. So if you look back and try to say, well, how many people had access before the autopsy? Well, you start going through a list of people. We wanted to really tighten that up so that there is absolutely no doubt that any evidence has been preserved with the deceased until the autopsy. This gives the coroner much more security and much more flexibility in doing that.
I noticed on another topic where Joni Jeffries, a local business owner, has set up a philanthropy of sorts in Crawfordsville that it tries to encourage more women to become entrepreneurs. And I wanted to ask you, is there a way the city can support that, either through donations or some sort of boost that you could give to women-owned businesses in the community?
Our Chamber of Commerce has been working on that particular piece. They've started a women in business group that's meeting and having luncheons and working through networking and different issues. But certainly as Fusion 54 ramps up and that project is underway, will be done here in a few months, this is a potential piece of programming that can go into the co-working space there. So we're watching that with interest. We're not jumping in too deep yet because Fusion 54 is not done, but when that's done, we're going to be ready to go, and certainly we'll be reaching out to all these different groups.
Is there any skepticism of whether this could work, whether aiming for, say, women-owned businesses or minority-owned businesses, anything that's not just open to the huge, broad business community, is there any worry that that might be either too narrowly tailored or it might not be picked up on as much as any sort of a larger event might be?
I've not heard that. And certainly I don't think any of these groups plan to exclude anyone. So if the focus is, you know, let's say women in business or women entrepreneurs, I don't think they're going to, you know, exclude people at the door because, you know, it's a guy who's interested in this. I think they're just trying to focus on this particular piece that maybe has been, you know, largely not focused on, and we've not paid attention to it. We're finding that more and more, and, you know, I'm really excited about Fusion 54 and the entrepreneur piece because the requests we receive on a weekly basis, people wanting to get in there and get space and get to work, is very high. So that tells me the demand is going to be there in this community far more than what most people expect.
Wanted to check back on something also. It's been a couple of months since we've talked about, which is your trip last year to Japan with Governor Holcomb to try to get more investment from overseas. I wanted to ask you what the latest was on meetings with companies who might be interested in investing in Crawfordsville and whether you're getting any hits of investment from that trip yet.
We're still in some discussion. We had some communication with our colleagues in Japan just in the last month with a couple of companies. So, you know, those are things that take a while. You cultivate those relationships, not decisions that are made overnight, not decisions that are made really in a matter of months. They take years. And I think we put ourselves in a good position there. You know, on the economic development front, things are really, really happening. And some of that has an international flavor to it. So, you know, we'll see how that flushes out. But I feel good with where we are on the Japan piece. It has to be part of our overall strategy, not the overarching piece, but part of it. But, you know, we're having those discussions, and we'll see what happens.
In just our last minute or so, I wanted to mention to you, of course, it's going to be golf weather again as soon as we get all the 8 inches of snow off the ground. I finally got a chance last year to play your city's municipal golf course, and you were not kidding when you said on this program that thing is in need of some TLC. There is a lot of work that needs to be done there. So I wanted to ask you, what are the plans for fixing what's broken once the weather warms up?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was many, many years of deferred maintenance and deferred upgrades. They just kind of put it out of mind. Right now, we're in the process of putting a new irrigation system in. That is step one. You have to have proper irrigation of the golf course before anything else takes place. That'll be completed this spring. So that's step one, and then, you know, just keep building from there. I hear all the time that our golf course is great for a municipal course. We need to take it to the next level, and I think we're on our way. The irrigation is the most important first step, and then we'll keep building out from there.
Have you had a chance yourself to play the Frankfurt course? They've put a lot of money and time into that the last couple of years, and it's gotten better.
I have not, but maybe Mayor Barnes will pay my way.
All right. Well, if you wind up with having a mayoral round of golf, I want to be there to cover it.
Okay. Sounds good.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Mayor Barton, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you.
And remember that you can touch base with us in 2 weeks' time. There will be no mayor show next week because it'll be the fifth Thursday of the month. But in 2 weeks, it'll be our conversation with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. So send in your questions for him or any of our other mayors by emailing ask@wbaa.org. And find all of these shows archived at our website, wbaa.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.